Welcome to Advanced Radio and our sports article about a day at the rock gym. Yesterday we started talking about this. It's about a climbing class. This person's, our author is Kara Carlson, and she's writing about her first climbing class and experience. And we learned some interesting vocabulary that is, some of it is kind of specialized to rock climbing. Some of it is broad enough for you to use in everyday life. And I have two, oh, I don't know if I'd call you rock climbers, but have been rock climbing people with me to say that. I've never been rock climbing, thank you, and I never plan to go, but...
But I'm Pauline, and I have done rock climbing and rappelling as well. I'm glad I get to be here talking about it again today. I really enjoyed our lesson yesterday. There was a couple phrases that we learned that I thought are really great ones for our listeners to use in everyday English conversation. Second nature, we talked about, is just anything that you do naturally without even thinking about it. Riding a bike is kind of the classic example we use, but there's lots of things you do every day without even thinking about it, because at your job or whatever you do, it's just something you've done so many times now that you don't have to try. You can be thinking about something else while you do it.
And it's something you've learned.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Like cooking. I am not someone who can cook by second nature. I have to really pay attention and follow the recipe, but I know, like, my mom or my grandma, you know, they have some of those recipes down by heart. They could be talking and or watching TV or doing different things and make this whole meal because it's just second nature. They know how to make it. So that'd be one example of how to use that phrase.
There are some things I can cook by second nature. My daughter once said to me, "So, Mom, how do you do it? You just kind of go into the kitchen, look around, and then make dinner. How do you do that?"
I want to know that, too.
I'd like to know that myself. Mm. There's a little bit more to it than that. And so thank you, Pauline. And our second rock
Not rock climber. Rock.
But experience.
Climber experience. Okay. All right. Yep. I'm Zach. Glad to be back. And, you know, one word that we learned yesterday, and it is important, I think, whether you're reading the article or if you are interested in trying rock climbing for yourself, is this word belayer or belaying. It's a technical term, but it is important to know. In fact, I think about, like, you know, if you were to play baseball, we all know the term pitcher, right? That's the one that throws the ball, and then he throws it to the catcher. Like, you have to kind of know these terms in order to get the sport. It's the same thing here. These are technical terms, but you do need to know them if you're ever interested.
Okay. And I'm Linda, and I'm the host today, and I'm so happy you could all join us. And it'll be fun to have Pauline and Zach discuss this article with us today. And I just thought the whole thing was kind of interesting. It's very reassuring to know that this is a 2.5-hour class that kind of develops from the very beginning. So they first learn the skill of knot tying. And we talked about some kinds of knots they need to know, which I don't know, so we're not going to talk about them. But anyway, it says the class ramps up over time and builds on itself. So if something ramps up, it just means it increases in speed or power. And then it goes on to say it not only ramps up and builds on itself. So you the second thing you learn is dependent on the first thing that you learn. So, and your third skill you learn is dependent on the first and second skills you learn. That's to build on itself. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that we learn and do that we can use that phrase on with mm-hmm. in particular. Well, today we're going to continue her experience, Kara Carlson, at the very end of yesterday. The two women, the climber and the belayer, prepared, and they started with the safety commands. And now we're going to see what happens to them today. So if you have your magazine with you, your advanced magazine, please open it to page 27 or find it on your digital device if you have it on there. And we're going to do several readings today. So we're going to start out by reading down to about line 12 in the left-hand margin on, again, page 27.
To begin, the climber says, "On belay?" asking if the belay is ready. The belayer replies, "Belay on," in confirmation. The climber then will say, "Climbing?" for permission, and "Climb on," from the belayer grants the beginning of a climb. The first easily ascended to the turtle with the help of her belayer and under Brendler's watchful eye. Another series of commands later, take, got, and lower, and the belayer slowly lets rope out to bring the climber back to the safety of the ground.
So we're going back to this term that we talked about yesterday, belaying and belayer, and the very first thing that the climber says or asks is on belay, right, Zach?
That's right. So they'll kind of ask to make sure the belayer is ready, and by saying on belay, and the response then is to say belay on.
If you are ready.
Right.
If you're ready.
Right. If the person who's holding the rope standing at the ground, that's what they say. Belay on means, yep, they are ready. They're not looking at their cell phone. They're not talking to somebody else. And that's why you ask, right? Because it takes you a while to get all set up. And if somebody just starts climbing, even though you said your belayer is going to be there for you, they might not know. So you need to make sure you all know when that moment begins, that the climb starts, and everybody needs to be safe about it and paying attention.
Right. And then the climber will say climbing, and that is the way that they ask for permission. Mm-hmm. And then if the belayer is ready, then what does the belayer say?
Climb on.
Okay, so that means that you can begin your climb.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is something that everyone uses all the time. It's not just for a 101 class where you're trying to get people to make sure they're paying attention. This is a common, you know, back and forth call and response way of checking to make sure you're ready that, as far as I understand, pretty much all climbers are going to use, even if they're extremely advanced and have a very strong rapport with their belayer. They're going to do this every time because that's how they just check for safety and make sure this is the way we start.
That's how they stay alive, huh?
Yeah, you're right.
Zach, yeah, you had kind of an interesting experience with this, right?
I did, because these terms aren't necessarily second nature for mm-hmm. me at the time when I was first trying it. And so I just, and you know, when you're dealing with an activity where, in this instance, you're staying safe, that's what we're doing right now by asking on belay, belay on, climbing, climb on. I just didn't feel comfortable saying it. So instead of me saying on belay, it's more like, Josh, are you ready? Are you okay? I did observe.
How did he answer you?
You know, actually, he stuck with the terminology. He stuck with it and tried to enforce it.
It's
second nature for him. And he probably felt most secure by mm-hmm. sticking to these words. And I observed the people around me, too, and this is what they do.
Yeah.
They use the words or were yelling like you?
No, they were using the words. I was alone in my panic.
Well, I think they're also trying to shorten the words, you know, like, so, because when we speak in normal English, we're doing these longer sentences, like, hey, you up there, are you okay? That's a much longer mm-hmm. sentence, and you might be misheard, because if they're a little ways away getting started, or if this is on the way back down, if you're coming down, you know, you're shouting, you need to know exactly, you know, when you've done this many times, you know exactly what they're shouting, you can shout it back, you know, knowing that provides less of an opportunity for miscommunication.
And it probably allows the climber to recognize whether or not they have a professional down at the bottom.
Instead of, Josh, you okay up there?
Exactly.
So we see that the first easily ascended to the turtle with the help of her belayer and under Brendler's watchful eye. So Brendler is like the coach of the class, and she has a watchful eye.
Right, so the coach is paying very close attention to make sure that everybody's doing everything just right to stay safe. Also, we see this vocabulary word we learned yesterday. We learned the word ascent, which is the process of going up the wall. And the verb is with the D. Mm-hmm. Here they use it with the in the verb form. They easily ascended up to the turtle.
Right, and having that watchful eye, that's what you'd want out of an instructor who is, you can kind of see a picture, Donovan Brendler on the right there. So, yeah, that's what you'd want from an instructor.
To make sure that you're not going to drop your climber.
That's
yes.
right.
Okay, and so we see that there are more commands here. Take, got, lower, and then the belayer slowly lets rope out to bring the climber back to the safety of the ground.
Right. So they made it up to that point yesterday when we were reading about this ascent. It said their goal was to make it up to this yellow turtle. So that's why it said the first easily ascended to the turtle. That was their goal, was to reach this one marker on the wall. They made it, and then they started coming back down, and then there's some different commands for the process of coming down instead of going up.
Right. So now we're on our way back down, and actually the climber is on the ground now.
Right. Made it safely back down to the ground. So it was a success.
Yes. The first climb. Not bad. Okay. Maybe I could do that. Okay. Well, let's continue our reading here in our discussion. We're becoming jittery before the fall. Okay. So we're just starting at line 13, and we'll read to the end of this column.
Becoming jittery before the fall. We moved over to a steeper wall, which I assumed was the new challenge. Now we're going to take some falls, Brendler said. Wait, what? Fall? On purpose? I saw it done before it was my turn, but that didn't prevent some jitters as I climbed the wall. I kept going up until I couldn't figure out the next handhold. My instructor decided this would be a good place for my first fall. Just let go completely with your hands, Brendler urged. Falling, I yelled, and let go before I could think too much. We each performed this 3 times, giving the belayer less warning each time, and then no warning. I'll admit this was fun, and made the overall climb less scary. It's not as intimidating as it may look, Bledsoe said after class.
So here we see that she is becoming jittery before the fall, and they've gone over to a steeper wall now, which she assumed was the new challenge. And if you become jittery at something, that just means this is an adjective. It means you're nervous, right?
Mm-hmm. You can say you feel jittery, which yeah. means you're feeling nervous. And I visualize somebody like literally shaking, or maybe their breath is really shaky. That jittery kind of has that implication.
Right. And so we see the noun form of it later on in the article, some jitters. Mm-hmm. So if you have jitters, it's the noun form of jittery. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you can see the shaking. Mm-hmm. And what is the next thing that the instructor says to them? What are they going to do now?
So now it's time to take some falls.
Okay.
That was her response. Wait, what? On purpose? Fall? Really?
No. That might be the end of my class. So she saw it done before it was her turn, but still, what happened to her? How did she feel about it?
So even though she saw it done, you know, other people in her class did it and they were safe and, you know, nothing bad happened, it's still a little scary, right, to do it yourself. So it says she felt some jitters as she started to climb the wall because she knew she was going to be asked to just let go and fall at some point.
So has that ever happened to you, Pauline?
So I was sharing before the show that I have done some rappelling, and the first couple of times I tried to do rappelling.
Okay, let's define rappelling first.
Okay, yeah. So rappelling is kind of like the inverse of the rock climbing. Rock climbing, you really think of like the going up, the ascent. You start with the ascent and then you may rappel down. But rappelling starts at the top and you go down. And those ropes help you as you basically just like walk down the wall. No hands are holding it. It's not climbing down. You back down and you're just like your back is flat down and in line with the ground below. And then you just walk on the wall and those ropes are holding you up as you do it. I find that a really terrifying experience. Those initial couple of steps as you're backing down, it's just so against your gut level instinct for self-preservation. So it really scared me. I cried. I'm not going to lie. I had a really strong response to it. I have tried it a couple of times since then. The last time I successfully did it without crying, so happy to report that. Although I will say, actually, climbing, just the letting go and falling back is actually easier, I think, than starting at the top of a cliff edge and lowering yourselves back. So I think I could do these falls. more easily than I could do the rappelling.
So as you're describing this, Pauline, Linda, do you have some jitters?
No, I have the feeling that there's not a chance in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine falling backward off a cliff and being perpendicular to the ground as you're going down? I mean, I've seen it. It makes me ill to watch it on TV, actually.
How do you do with roller coasters?
Oh, yeah, I don't go on those anymore. But actually, I do have to say that I'm the one that used to go on all the rides with the kids when they were little because my husband doesn't like them. Fine. So I just usually sit and close my eyes while we do it.
Well, yeah, not everyone does well with these, like, very unnatural movements or positions. Mm-hmm. They're unnatural.
Or heights, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's heights for me.
Yep.
And exactly, we were talking about this before, that if this is something that sounds interesting to you, there's lots of opportunities to try it out, and I'm definitely a proponent of trying new things mm-hmm. if you have any interest. But on the other hand, you should be honest about your own
limits.
Exactly. If you know you're somebody who's really scared of heights, this may not be the best thing for you. Or maybe you decide you want to push yourself and get over that hurdle, but then you need to tell your instructors and start very small, right? Don't put yourself in a situation where you're really going to regret it and you're really having a traumatic event because you're
like you did?
Heights. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Well, for these kinds of activities, or maybe you think of something else, maybe we were talking about scuba diving mm-hmm. or whether it's surfing, get the 101, get the facts first, do your homework, and then go for it once
right.
you have that.
Right. So here they learn to do everything. Like if you're going to go scuba diving or surfing, you know, you probably need to know how to swim, right? So mm-hmm. that it would make sense that you do.
Well,
so like here you need to learn how to tie knots and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. All these sports seem to ramp up. They increase. They build on top of one another. And
yeah.
So you got to get the necessary skills before you move on to the next stage.
Well, here it says that she still had some jitters as she climbed the wall. Even after watching, I would have a lot of jitters watching people do this, fall off a wall. But she kept going up until she couldn't figure out what the next handhold would be. So mm-hmm. that's where she would handhold here just means where you would grab on, what rock you would grab on to pull yourself up further. And then the instructor decided that it would be a good place for her first fall. Mm-hmm. And so she just let go.
Right.
And she says falling, which I imagine screaming that, but it says she just yelled it.
So there's a fine difference between yell and scream. Mm-hmm. Scream is more panicky.
Exactly. And yell is usually more like, you could be scared, but it's also to get somebody's attention, right? Which is what you're supposed to do because hopefully your belayer, as we've talked about before, was paying attention the whole time and they'll see that you're falling. But actually you'll feel that even a split second before somebody can see it, right? You know when your hands let go. So you're letting the belayer know. And now, you know, in the next second, you're going to need to really be holding on tight because that belayer is very important right then.
Right. Well, and in this relationship, the belayer then is going to kind of counter your weight with their own. And so if they're unprepared, they will actually come off the ground a little bit and will be lifted up. So the idea is if they yell falling, the belayer is leaning back to take on the weight and they don't suddenly actually hit the side of the mountain or the wall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is what you did actually, right? You were the belayer.
Right. So I would just kind of lean back when necessary. But if you're not paying attention, your feet could leave the ground.
Okay.
Well, you think of this actually as being something to protect yourself when you say falling, but it's just as much to protect your teammate on the ground because they could actually get hurt if they're not aware
right.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the person you were belaying for lived to tell about it?
Yes.
Okay,
still
good.
Rock
just
climbing
checking.
To this day.
Just checking. So you have to, okay, everyone, if you're going to do this, you have to let go completely mm-hmm. with your hands, okay? And then she actually did this. I like this. This would be me before she could think about it too much because you can really talk yourself out of it very
right.
easily. And they each performed this three times, so she did three falls, and then her belayer took her turn climbing and falling three times, while the author was the belayer, and giving the belayer less warning each time, and then no warning at all.
Right. Well, and I think this is, again, you kind of want to check yourselves for all, you know, worst case scenario, right? And it's just making sure that belayer is always paying attention just in case. So if they suddenly see you slip, they know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. They don't need that warning.
Right. They know. Yes. Mm-hmm. And she goes on to, I think this is kind of interesting. The climber here, okay, Delia Bledsoe says, it's not as intimidating as it may look.
Like I said, I actually agree. I found the couple times that I've done little bits of climbing parts and fallen a little bit, I found that actually less intimidating, less scary than the rappelling side.
Oh, I think I would too. I mean, to step off a cliff backwards, I'm sorry. There's nothing about that that sounds fun.
I will say, though, actually, I'm really grateful that I have done rappelling, that I finally overcame it. And when I was able to overcome it, that was a really amazing experience, too. It is a really unique thing. You do feel like you're defying natural laws and doing something that, you know, most you obviously could not do as a human being without the help of all these ropes. So it's an amazing experience, too. If you think you're up for an adventure, you can also try that. I don't want to scare people away from it entirely.
Yeah, don't listen to me.
Well, it sounds, you know, it's interesting, Pauline, that you bring up, you know, kind of defying nature. But at the same time, for a lot of these rock climbers, it's their time to kind of get back into nature and get into the mountains and just kind of look at that stone or look at that mountain and say, oh, I want to climb that. I want to scale that stone.
Yes, we've written about and I've seen, you know, articles about people that, you know, just go out climbing by themselves and, you know, no belayers, no ropes, no nothing.
You know, if this gives you the jitters, you
probably don't want to do that.
Check out, well, there's also people who will do free climbing.
Right.
Yeah, that's
the,
oh, okay,
right,
without the ropes,
exactly,
right?
No ropes,
and just go for it.
Whew, yeah. That really does get, I mean, just watching it, my, like, blood pressure goes
up.
Yes,
mine too.
Yeah.
Change the channel now.
That I actually do not encourage any of you guys to go out and do. I just think it's so dangerous.
Yes.
It's so interesting to hear some of the interviews with these free climbers, and they'll say, you know,
it's freeing.
It's freeing, and they talk about how, or they're, when they say, they'll ask them, well, are there any moments that you are scared? And they're like, you know, for a moment, I kind of have to second guess, but that will actually only kind of spiral your mindset. And so they have to kind of take a deep breath and just keep going. But it's shocking how fast and how quickly they can get up these mountains within hours.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being on the side of the mountain for a few hours?
Not hanging on by a handhold, no.
But that's again where I'm sure if you were like convinced, if you were somebody who just truly believed in your skills and you knew you could do it, like that is a pretty amazing way to engage with nature, a way that like very few people are able to really feel like you are that connected to this mountainside and, you know, to be up there. Truly, I mean, you're not having to worry about a crowd, right? It's not like going to a beach where there's, you know, thousands of other people you might be having to share it with. The side of the mountain like that, you know.
You and the mountain.
You and the mountain get to really be by yourself.
Yep, pretty neat, really nervous.
But, oh man, that was so scary.
Well, you'll probably never find any of us doing that.
Right. I think climbing rock gyms is more up most of our, up our alley.
I would try that.
More. Yeah, I think this is a little more accessible to the majority of us.
Well, let's go on and read this last section here. We're on, we're in the right-hand column and we're going to read a gratifying success.
A gratifying success. The class finished with the auto belay, a machine that belays for solo climbers. I found myself suddenly missing the security of the random stranger with whom I had been partnered. About three-quarters of the way up, I let go, pushing off the wall once on the way down, before landing on the mat below. I'd survived my first ever climbing lesson.
So we see the subtitle here, A Gratifying Success. And if we're talking about gratifying, we're talking about what?
It's something that is pleasing, but also there's an idea of like you're proud, like you're really grateful and happy that you've done something.
So, yes, it's a success, so you live to tell about it as well. So, well, they finished the class, so, I mean, I think that would be pretty gratifying. And it says the class finished with the auto belay. And so they also have machines that do this, right?
That is an interesting aspect of doing climbing at a gym, right? To know that if you don't have a partner or a good friend who really loves to do climbing and you find that this is something you really love, or maybe it's a form of exercise, this is a real point in the favor of going to a rock gym where they have the option of an automatic belayer for you. So you can do it on your own, but safely with ropes, not this freestyle stuff we were talking about before.
But I thought it was very interesting, her reaction to this machine. What did she find herself? How did she find herself feeling, Zach?
Well, she said that she was missing kind of that security that comes with communicating. Here she mentions just with random strangers, you know, the fact that they might be strangers, but they're people, and they're there. They've got her back, so to speak. And so just watching, keeping an eye on her. And so, that is interesting. For me, that's what comes to my mind. Okay, you have this machine, but now I don't have anyone to say, help, Josh, where are you? Or whoever, anyone. Right.
But she did do it, you know.
Yeah, it
works. Must be part of the class. So she said that about three quarters of the way up, she let go and she pushed off the wall once on the way down. Okay. So, you know, when you push off, when you're falling and you push off, then the wall automatically like brings you back to it. And then she landed on the mat below. That was a nice word to read, mat. There was some padding down there.
Of course.
And her last line sounds very self-satisfying. I'd survived my first ever climbing lesson.
Right. Obviously, she's very proud of herself. She's happy with the experience. She can feel like she succeeded, that the whole, you know, experience was a success.
So your third rappelling was a gratifying success.
Yes, my third experience at rappelling was very gratifying. The first two, not so much, but I did finally have a gratifying success.
Well, I'm pretty impressed that you actually went back and tried it again a couple of times.
Okay, I'm going to admit, the only reason I did was because I had a good friend who really wanted to do it. He promised he would pay for us to go and for the instructor, and he said he was okay if I still ended up, you know, being a hysterical mess, because there was a real possibility of that. But thankfully, thankfully he gave me that opportunity, and the instructor was great, and the moment was right, and I was able to do it. So I'm great. I am really grateful that I got to have a success story after my couple times of having it be pretty traumatic.
So I think that, you know, never give up. I mean, that's our philosophy. So, you know, don't. You know, if you find something that you think you might be interested in doing, try it. That's my philosophy.
Even if you have to fall, maybe not physically, maybe, you know, abstractly.
I didn't say I would want to do that part.
Okay. Well, I'm referring to her, you know, they had to kind of practice falling. But it might take some time and that kind of a thing. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we hope that you won't give up on English. And we hope that you will find it gratifying to continue to study and join us here on Advanced Radio. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Goodbye.